Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ulster County Executive Michael Hine. Welcome, Michael. It's great to see you here in the studios with us.
Thank you very much, Alan. How are you doing?
Well, you know, as good as an old man can. As
Father Time seems to be kind to you.
One of our ex-governors once said. So let me ask you this. How is it for, as Peter Falk might say, you guys? In other words, how is it for the guys who are the county execs?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be elected president of the County Executives Association for the state of New York.
Wow.
And to be quite frank with you, I didn't want it to just be another one of those kinds of terms. I wanted it to be a situation where we could make a fundamental difference. And so we launched something called PAYGO New York, or really an opportunity to be able to go out and identify three key areas. First and foremost, we do innovative things in Ulster County. We've become in many ways a model around the state of New York. And what we wanted to do is recognize that we weren't alone. There are innovative people in local governments up and down this entire amazing state. And so we traveled around and we were collecting data from Buffalo, Rochester, the North Country, and Watertown. We've been to the tip of Long Island, to the Hudson Valley, all with the idea of identifying some of the most innovative concepts in government that can be replicated. Because oftentimes, innovative people are solution-driven. They do it, and then they move on to the next crisis.
So give us some of the product of all of that.
Well, again, I don't want to give a leg up to any one of the ideas,
well,
but I will tell you about some of the stuff that we've done locally. First and foremost, we identified some tough stuff. We identified the ways to move through. Many of the county nursing homes are in crisis, full-blown crisis. So how do we move through that process in an effective way?
County nursing homes have always been, you know, a subject of some discussion
Sure. In
places. What are they? Are they for indigent people? Who goes to a county nursing home?
Typically, it's just like the people who go to every other nursing home. If someone is really in a vulnerable part of their life, they need care. And now the question is providing high-quality care to them, easy access to care, regardless of their ability to pay. That's the important component that has to happen in the community.
Why should we have them compared to other nursing homes if they're the same?
Correct. And what's happened is it really depends community to community. But in many communities, what's happening is governments have operated them for an extended period of time. And over that extended period of time, what's happened is huge government subsidies have been needed to be able to sustain them. But the quality of care hasn't been overarchingly better than any other nursing home. So in the process, what we have simply said is those subsidies are also costing other areas of government, providing high quality care in other areas to people in need within the community. Other services have forced to have been cut in non-mandated areas. Laundry lists of areas. When you're talking about being able to, not just what you don't do now, but what you can't do. In areas where you want to expand, you want to be able to help make sure you're educating, again, disadvantaged youth. Maybe those programs unfortunately suffer. Maybe you want to make sure that you're providing higher quality mental health care, but maybe those programs can't be expanded simply because the dollars aren't available. But if we're smarter in government about how we deliver essential services to people in need, I would say you don't have to choose between being socially responsible and fiscally responsible if you're open to innovation and change.
So did you close down your county nursing home?
Absolutely not. That, unfortunately, is a path that takes place when political gridlock takes place and nobody can make an action. The financial pressures force closure. I would say it's not a matter of public or private. Oftentimes it becomes a discussion of open or close. We saw that happen in Suffolk County, and it's tragic. Hundreds of jobs are lost. But more importantly, residents and families are displaced, and it's a terrible situation that happens upon a community. What we did was we developed an entirely new model that's been replicated around the state of New York. And in that model, using an LDC, we were able a local development corporation, to assist in this process. As we move through this, we were able to ensure that the jobs stayed in our community. They stay as organized labor. In addition to that, the facility remains open, and by bringing in a private operator, we also have the ability to be able to have capital investment into places like cardiac care and expand quality of care that would otherwise not be there. But
you licensed a guy who runs, or a woman who runs, nursing homes.
Sure,
right?
but we did it in a process that really ensured the quality of care and that no resident was displaced, and made sure that, again, access to care was in no way, shape, or form negatively impacted.
Has anybody been critical of this process?
I always say the funniest thing to be able to tell you is this. When you do what I think are innovative things in government, oftentimes you stand alone. I remember standing in my office looking out, and there were hundreds of protesters, sure. and I couldn't get an elected official in my community to stand with me at the time. But we knew what we were doing was innovative, and no one had ever done it in the state of New York. Now, here we stand 18 months later. We moved through this process faster than any other county in the state of New York while simultaneously ensuring the quality of care, and it all worked out. Not only are everybody in my community supportive of this process, but most elected officials in my community, I couldn't get one to stand with me.
You have to have some guts when you do these things.
And now everybody thinks not only was it a great idea, but most elected officials think in my community that it was probably partially their idea as well.
We're talking to Michael Hine. He is the Ulster County Executive. Let's put it this way, in case you're having trouble with that one. He's the governor of Ulster County. Okay, so how close are you to bankruptcy in Ulster County, and how close are other, since you're the president of all of the counties getting together in an association, how dangerous is it for counties?
It is extremely dangerous. What happens is, when I came in, we were actually going to face a 66% cumulative tax increase that would have put incredible burden on not just property taxpayers, but our ability to deliver services. There's an overarching issue statewide. Government has to make fundamental and sweeping changes if we're going to continue to deliver essential services. I don't expect the state is going to step in and magically send, I would say, they're not Ed McMahon. There isn't massive dollars available to come to local government to save it. What we want to be able to do is partner with state officials, and the governor has found ways to be able to do this in some instances. Medicaid reform has been one area that's been helpful. Workers' compensation, some relief that's happened in those areas. There's clearly more work to be done because in these situations, we cannot stand status quo. I'll give you an example of where some of the traditional boundaries lie and where major changes have taken place. We brought forward a reality that our school system in Ulster County, or one of them, one of the major ones, especially the large urban one, which was the Kingston School District, was graduating students at a 70% graduation rate. But it was, as you kind of peeled back the onion, what you saw was 58% of the Hispanic population, 50% of the African-American population. To think that it was an absolute coin flip for an African-American family of whether or not their child was going to graduate high school was completely unacceptable. Well, there's that set of problems that come with that. Then I looked over at our community college. I was asked to be the commencement speaker. And as I looked out, the demographics of what I was looking out upon was not the same as the demographics that I know exist in my community. So fundamentally, there was a problem. We weren't a true community college. We were a community college for a portion of our county. And the reason that took place is because we're a large geographic county.
And which portion again?
Again, when we talk about this, we're talking about making sure that unless you were a middle-class kid and you could drive to the school, you had a real problem. Okay, and that's a fundamental problem in providing access to higher education to everyone, especially inner city youth. And in this situation, what we were having is this. I looked at that 30 years ago when we looked back at what they were doing. 30 years ago when they were citing the community college, there were political fights that took place on where it was going to go. I know you find that incredibly impossible to believe, but to avoid those, they decided they were going to put it in the geographic center of our county. That's not where any of the people are, by the way. It's a wonderful pastoral setting, but it's absolutely not where the people are.
If you put it in downtown Kingston, it would have been a different story.
Correct. And so what we did was, as our school district was facing the serious challenges and obviously a reduction in the number of students in the Kingston School District, they were vacating elementary schools. And so what I decided to do was bring the superintendent of schools, the president of the community college, and the county, because the county had its own series of problems. We didn't have a county executive in the past. And what we had was nobody looking at an overarching view of what should happen within county government. And so we became a land baron. We had 70 properties in Ulster County. And again, everything was off the tax rolls. Nothing was really, there was a great deal of disjointed nature in how we delivered health and human services. So I brought all those people together. Typically, what would happen in the past, schools would work on schools problems, community colleges working on community college problems, and county governments would work on county government problems. We blurred those lines and simply said, by putting all the problems in one central table, we could actually fix more of this. There's synergy here. So we took an elementary school that was closing, that was nearby the high school, and we moved a satellite campus of the community college directly there, 100 yards away. So now an inner city youth who could walk to high school can now walk to college. And so we began to make greater access, whether it be for college preparatory classes or whether it be for AP classes, a whole laundry list of other things.
What about admissions policies?
And the exciting part is we'll be able to get our young people prepared to be able to access our community college in an easier way because of, again, a location. And it's nice to watch the educators now begin to work and identify the synergies curriculum-wise that can really pay off in the end.
Okay.
There's that one piece. Then there's another piece of this that says from the county, we're going to take all of our health and human services and put it into one central location, the area where the satellite campus used to be, which was disjointed from the community out in a business district, and put all health and human services in one centralized location and sell off many of these other properties. And by doing that, our community college becomes better, our local high school system becomes better, access to higher education for inner city youth becomes better, and the county becomes better. Now, what ends up happening in this environment, we ended up saving over $10 million over time in this process with better access to education for less money. I would say the thing that people said was virtually impossible by blurring these lines and knocking them down. We knew that was innovative, but we also knew that was taking place all around the state of New York. And we wanted to be able to create an idea bank so that all local officials could be able to reach into this, whether they're a new official or whether they're a long-standing official.
Michael Hine, I'm running out of time. I only have 14 minutes left, so I'm going to ask you some questions.
Sure.
Please limit your answers to no more than 2 minutes. Okay. Tell me, you depend on the state legislature for money and the rest of it, but we've had a lot of talk about how the legislature has a lot of corrupt characters in it. What are you seeing as a politician?
Well, I see more as a resident of New York, a lifelong resident of New York. It's disgraceful. It is absolutely some of the most troubling things, and it compromises the quality of governance when people lose faith. And what happens is we see this when we see voter turnout fall back. It's a disturbing thing to think that the general electorate believes that elected officials are really nothing more than, you know, the worst of the used car salesmen.
So, but since that is so prevalent, I mean, you have to work with the state legislator yourself. You know, I mean, is it that it's called corruption in the old ways, you know, in other words, you take money, or is it sort of, you know, it's a headstrong one leader, everybody does salutes and does what the leader wants?
I think that, what did Rahm Emanuel say? Yeah. No good crisis should go unutilized.
Yeah.
We are in a situation much like that. We are in the middle of an enormous crisis. It's not just the national economic crisis. The governor has recognized we are, you know, in a situation where we have to make significant changes at the state level. We at the county level, we embrace that as well and are making those changes every day. I think what has to happen is our elected officials in the legislature, and I think again, many of them do, but there are some who still cling to the idea that there is a limitless pool of money and that innovation is really a bad word and that major sweeping change is a bad word.
Are you for term limits?
Absolutely. My take on this is really a very simple situation. The model that we have currently moved through doesn't work. The people that represent us, whether they're doing a good job or a bad job, should have a limited period of time to be able to show success or failure. And I think that the constituency oftentimes, again, if there was independent redistricting, maybe we'd be having a different conversation.
Sure.
But the truth of the matter is, many of the districts that are out there are not competitive.
They've been rigged. Designed by the people who
I would say they sugarcoat it by calling it, but it's not. They've been rigged. There's a gerrymandering that go on.
Sure.
And we're very proud of that. In Ulster County, that's why we talk about becoming a model. We've set forth a independent redistricting process for our legislature. Our legislature does not decide where the boundaries go.
I'm very aware of that, and I want to congratulate you for it. Let me talk to you about hydrofracking. Obviously, you know, you're on the margin. You have potential hydrofracking sites within your county. The governor seems to have pulled back on this as we've all been waiting for a report to show up from the health department, which seems to be rather slow in coming. What do you make of that?
We also in Ulster County provide about 40% of the water for New York City. And I will never forget Mayor Bloomberg's comment when he said he supported fracking. He thought it was a fine idea. It was wonderful, except for in the New York City watershed.
And they were exempted.
So it was fine if you poisoned upstate New Yorkers, but it's not so fine if it impacted the New York City waters. It was such hypocrisy.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's go to casino gambling. The big fix now is we're going to set up casinos. Your county obviously has some sites. What do you think?
Well, when you look across the Catskills, there's a long tradition of resorts. And now the reality is to make them financially viable, resort casinos can become the only way of making that happen. The Neville is a perfect example. It's a wonderful site. It has close proximity. It can draw from the 50 million people, whether it be people who live in New York City or people who visit the New York City area. And it can also be a really wonderful boom to an economy. And again, the community has fully embraced it. And so it's important to understand.
So you're telling us that the people in Ulster County want casino gambling.
There is no question that the people in Ulster County fully support casino gambling at the Neville.
Mm-hmm.
We're very specific about where. too. And again, I think that's an important concept to be able to understand. The people of Ulster County support it at the Neverly. We believe it will be a wonderful opportunity to have a strong resort casino environment, which is really what the heritage is of that entire area.
I've been reading some reports that New Yorkers are now investing more heavily in the lottery than they are in casinos. What do you make of that?
You know, I always am cautious about these things because it's not like I don't understand the possible ills in these situations as well. But what my perspective is on this is I think that as long as I'm concerned that enough of the dollars are going towards education when it comes to the lottery. That's a big fundamental issue from my perspective.
Well, I think governors have always argued it goes into the general fund. The general fund goes to support education. What's wrong with that?
Well, so really what we're talking about here is ensuring that those dollars go where they're supposed to go. It was designed to be able to help our children. I want to make sure that's precisely what it is. Not just Ulster County children, but New York State children deserve the best possible education. And we want to make sure that that happens.
You sound like a guy who's running for governor, are you?
We have a governor and we have a very good governor. You know, what I tell people is I'm very proud and very happy to be the county executive in Ulster County.
The very good governor you just described did something that I think has hampered county government or maybe city governments for a while now, which is a tax cap.
I just don't view it that way. I'm supportive of the tax cap because I understand.
Well, are you afraid of the governor?
No, I look at it very simply. I think that by having a tax cap, we're in a situation where it has forced people to make some very difficult decisions, and whether that be merger-based decisions or whether it be shared services-based decisions or whether it means making the tough decisions that they've avoided for some, in some cases, decades, there is great value in that in helping us progress. It has forced innovation. It has done a lot of those things. That doesn't mean it comes and it's perfect. The level of mandate relief has to be commensurate.
Well, has he done that? I mean, he promised mandate relief. He said he was going to stop it. He was going to give it to you. Has he?
There's progress, but more needs to be done.
That sounds like a weasel answer.
Alan, that's a horrible way to say that.
I didn't mean to imply that you were a weasel.
What kind of answer is that?
On the contrary, and I apologize for it. I know how it came out. It came out sounding like I said you were a weasel. Not at all. I just said it was sounded like a weasel answer.
I'll make this very simple.
Okay.
The help with Medicaid clearly is beneficial. The help with things like workers' compensation is clearly helpful. But that's not enough. So there is significant additional mandate relief.
They would pick up some more of the money.
Correct. Yeah. And if we're going to make sure that we are moving forward with quality health care in our state, which is critical, that's going to be an important project. Because, again, if the counties within New York State are going to work within the tax cap, and the vast majority of them are doing exactly that. Again, in Ulster County, we were fortunate to be able to redesign it so there was actually a tax cut for the first time in a decade last year. So we're very excited about that.
So now this governor wants to do more shared services.
Yes.
Are you doing more shared services?
Without question. Six different towns are now working with us on snow removal and road maintenance and a laundry list of other things. We're also working actually with other counties on things like public defenders and conflict defenders and those types of things to be able to identify cost savings while simultaneously delivering the same, if not better, services.
But when you say snow removal,
I'll give you a great example.
Yeah.
Everyone in upstate New York has both seen this and been appalled by it. A snowplow driver plowing away and all of a sudden lifting the blade and driving over unplowed roads because it, quote unquote, is not their road.
Yeah.
Okay. It's government bureaucracy at its worst. Governments have to find ways to be able to eliminate that. That snowplow driver should be able to continue on. Governments should be able to work the dollars back and forth in between to make it possible so that those roads are cared for in the most efficient manner possible, whether it be paving, whether it be plowing, whether it be whatever the maintenance is necessary. And then we have to bring forward the most modern technology. There are things called AVLs or automated vehicle locators. There are meters to make sure that that salt is delivered in the best possible way.
Why do you have to locate them?
It's about management.
Whether somebody's goofing off.
I may need to break this to you, but New York is a very big state. And so many of these places are huge geographically.
Yeah.
So being able to make sure that as you design the routes that it's done in the most efficient way possible.
And that somebody who says they're somewhere is somewhere.
Yeah, we put one on you one time, but you were petting Murray for a really long time.
My colleague David Gustina, the producer of this program, points out that the state legislature is going paperless. At least we have to have a constitutional amendment, if you can believe it, two successive legislative sessions to decide whether we should use computers and not waste tons of money on paper. You're doing that in Ulster County?
Without question, we have used technology to be able to reduce it, and we're in the midst of doing precisely that even more. I will tell you, I have a friend of mine who looked at a session in the New York State Legislature and saw the reams and reams and reams of paper and said, how can any of these people call themselves environmentalists when they are killing trees by the thousands every session? There's clearly better ways to be able to deliver that data to the individuals. I'm sure there are legal and regulatory requirements that are there, but those are able, they were made by people. They're able to be changed by people.
Do you work well with your state legislator in Ulster County?
I have eight of them, by the way.
Yeah.
We should be very clear about this. I have eight of them. I have four state senators and four assemblymen. So I would say the carving up of the districts are something that's been very difficult for Ulster County. Mm-hmm. We have seen, and again, I make no bones about this. I think that proper districting, independent districting is critically important. It drives real democracy. Without that, you end up with rigged districts.
I couldn't agree with you more. I said it, you said it, and I said it, I agree with that. Do you have bad relationships with any of those legislators?
Well, again, I think that it's always, to me, driven by this. It's always driven by these basic things. It's driven by, do I believe that that representative is doing things in the best interest of the 183,000 people of Ulster County?
And if they're not, do you tell them?
Absolutely. I think I have an obligation to call them out. Again, I have to speak on behalf of as the county executive of Ulster County. My job, I took an oath to protect the 183,000 people. And if I see anybody, regardless of their political affiliations, regardless of what position they hold, we will call somebody out. We're not going to hesitate to fight on behalf of those people.
I only got 2 minutes. We've heard about the potential for bankrupt cities, for bankrupt counties. Are we close to bankruptcy in any case?
I think that there has been an understanding that there are, and again, I think that the comptroller's reports who have laid out distressed areas and distressed cities, whether they're cities, counties, or other municipalities, is a valuable tool. The question is, and again, I see that the governor has brought forward a strategy to deal with distressed communities. Our goal with PAYGO New York was to be able to help
people. Pay as you go.
Correct.
For those people who may not be with it.
And there's a wonderful website, paygony.com. Yeah. And so if someone in the general citizenry has a good idea that they believe can make government better, they can go on and put it on this. And
anybody do that?
Absolutely.
And you ever say, boy, that's a neat idea?
You know what? I'll give you a great example of this. Truck driving is a noble profession. But I also, when I look to design things like retirement incentives and a whole host of other things, that's not typically where you would see the idea come from. I had someone come into my office, asked my secretary if they could meet with me, brought in literally the back of a napkin. And that was the germ of an idea that we used to be able to define a highly successful retirement incentive within Ulster County that benefited the taxpayers, the residents of Ulster County, and the employees. And the idea didn't come from a CPA. It didn't come from one of the attorneys. It came from a truck driver. That's where the germ of the idea came from. It was a retirement incentive plan, and it worked perfectly. And by doing it this way, the county had seen a significant savings. Again, it was the way he designed it. It brought health care in, and it was a mixture. It was a complicated solution, but it was a well-thought-out solution.
Did it save you money?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Save the county money, so that's where it benefited the taxpayers. But it also allowed a reduction in a portion of the workforce without harming people. And that's the exciting part.
Well, Michael Hine, we thank you for doing this, for being with us. You're an important part of our constituency. If I've said anything in this interview with Genoid you, I just want to apologize. I can tell you right now before I sign off that you are anything but a weasel.
Thank you very much.
And we will be talking to you over the years, I hope. It's great to have you on the air with us. We're out of time. Our guest has been Ulster County Executive Michael Hine, and it's just a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.